Hi. You can follow the reading in your Bible you're given on page 884, Daniel 2. And I'm going to chop it in half and have the other one after the song. And also I'll chop a little bit out, otherwise it's a very long reading. So Daniel 2, starting from verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summons the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dreams, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I'll have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dreams, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you're trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation would change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchantress, or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officers, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of the God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." So, continuing on verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret the dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mysteries he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that you, your majesty, may know the interpretation, that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken into pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. We now move on to verse 45. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, Surely your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Jack.
Thanks, Stephen, for reading that. Why don't I pray for God's help before we unpack Daniel 2? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray as we look at Daniel 2 with strange names and an ancient history that you, as you've promised to do, would speak to us this morning. We pray that we'll leave here changed. We pray that we'll leave here praising you as the God in control of all of human history. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Mum and Dad, it's been 3 months now since I left for university. I'm really sorry for the lack of thought in not emailing you before. I'm getting along pretty well now. You know, the skull fracture, concussion when I jumped out the apartment window when it caught fire. That's pretty well healed. And I only spent 2 weeks in hospital. And now I almost can see normally and only get sick headaches once a day. I was looked after by a lovely nurse called Maria. She was so attentive during the stay. Since I had nowhere to live, she kindly invited me to share her apartment with her. My friends were worried because of our differences in cultural background, and her being 12 years older. But I wanted to reassure you, she was a lovely, kind woman, and we're planning to get married. We haven't set a date yet. It'll be before her pregnancy shows, though. Her divorce back in Colombia is final now, and once we're married, we'll be able to apply for a visa to stay in the UK. The reason in delay in our marriage is that Maria, she's still fighting a court case over the custody of her three children. Soon this will be over, and I can't wait for you to be able to meet your three half-grandchildren, Juan Carlos, Fernando, and Catalina. Well, now I've brought you up to date, I want to tell you that there was no fire. I didn't have concussion or a skull fracture. I was not in the hospital. I'm not engaged. I've not made anyone pregnant, and there's no divorced woman in my life. However, I have failed my first exams in economics. And I wanted you to see these exams in their proper perspective. Your loving son, James. Perspective, it changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, failing exams in the perspective of meeting your three half grandchildren. What is perspective? Well, it's the angle at which we see things, isn't it? It's the viewpoint from which you see something. And getting the right perspective is really important. Getting everything in its correct proportions. When it comes to living in this world, that's really important. Making sense of life, it's just the same. We need the right perspective, the right lens to view life through. Not just to understand the big stuff like life and death and illness, but even the smaller stuff like, oh, how should I spend my free time this weekend? In chapter 1 of Daniel, for those who were here a couple of weeks ago, we saw the ancient Babylon, it's not that different from London after all, that Daniel, he and his friends face really similar pressures that we feel here in London. And we saw that Daniel, amazingly, was able to stand firm through all of that, simply by trusting God is in control. Well, in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to continue along that same theme. And God, in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to see marvelously gives us the perspective we all need to make sense of life and to keep living for him here in London. So first we're going to see, and it's on the heading on the screen and in front of you if you've got your order of service, it's just on the inside page. Our first point is God alone can give us the perspective that makes sense of life. God alone can give us this perspective that makes sense of life. And we pick the story up in Daniel chapter 2, and it's the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And we learn that Nezzar can't sleep. You know, he's had this dream, and what does it mean? He summons his experts. He says, I've had a dream, it troubles me, and I want to know what it means. And so the experts say, well, you know, tell us what it is, Nezzar, and we'll interpret it. But Nezzar says, no, how can I know that the interpretation you're going to give me is right? So he comes up with this plan. You tell me what the dream I had was. And you can actually do this. You can log on to interpretmydream.com. You just write in your dream, whatever it is, like, oh, my teeth keep falling out. And then, yeah, you have to put in your card details, of course. And then it will write you back your interpretation of your dream. Now, what would be really impressive, wouldn't it, is if you just logged on and it told you exactly what dream you had. Then you'd be like, wow, maybe I trust this. But we all know that's impossible. And that's exactly what his experts say. He's like, what the king is asking is too difficult. And so Nezzar becomes angry and furious. He orders the whole government department just to be chopped in one night. The complete civil service just chopped into pieces and their houses turned to rubble. But this includes Daniel and his chums. It looks like they're going to face a chop as well. So we see the same Daniel. He's brilliant. He just turns to pray. He's like, right, guys, let's pray. Look down with me at verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. He urged them, that's Daniel urging his friends, to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, that is, Nezah's dream, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then we read in verse 19, during the night, God reveals to him the dream and a vision. God has done what only God can do. And Daniel rightly understands this. Have a look at verse 22. This is kind of Daniel's prayer. In verse 23, he says, speaking about God, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God, of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. So, Daniel wakes up and he summons a presence with the king. Summons a presence with the king. He says, I mean, this would be pretty nerve-wracking given the sort of king that we learn Nezah is. You know, standing before him, by that point, Nezah must have been kind of sharpening his knife, ready to give Daniel the chop. If I were there, I would just kind of blurted out this dream. You know, I know what it is, but this is amazing, the composure we see here. Look what Daniel, he's so careful. Before he blurts out the dream, he wants to make crystal clear where he's getting his knowledge from. Verse 27, this is brilliant. Daniel replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. I love how unapologetic Daniel is. You know, he is standing in front of probably the most powerful man in the world at this point in time. That's like standing in front of a kind of tyrant like Trump, I guess. And first things first, Nezah, first things first, my God alone can give you the perspective that makes sense of life. My God alone. Isn't that brilliant? And like Nezah, we see this, don't we? Everyone, you know, around us, they look to all sorts of places for perspective. We live in an age of endless podcasts and Netflix documentaries and Wikipedia, and now we can kind of travel the world. Lots of people travel the world. We're trained in modern medicine and modern science, and we're into like well-being and mindfulness and. We've got YouTube stars like Jordan Peterson, and we look to our families and friends, of course. But if we just stop for a moment and think, yeah, okay, we look all sorts of places for perspective. Let's just consider a few of the questions we need to answer to make sense of life, like what makes us truly happy, or what happens when we die, or is there any purpose in suffering? Let's be honest, like Nezah's dream, those sort of questions are too difficult for us to answer. Nobody has the answers to those sort of questions. Let's be frank, you know, the people around us, the YouTube stars, the podcasts, we're just telling each other what we want to hear. It's just made up. You know, like, oh, don't worry, you know, just... If you want to be happy, just do what makes you feel right. Yeah, stuff like that. People keep telling each other these things. So, oh, it sounds right, doesn't it? As the more and more we tell each other, oh, it must be right. But as Christians, we're not arrogant if we confidently say, like Daniel, we do not have the answers, neither do you, but we know a God who does. Have a look at verse 30. This is Daniel speaking. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so your majesty may know the interpretation, that you may understand what went through your mind. He's humble, but he's confident. He's been revealed this dream by God, and he's passing it on. God alone can give us the perspective that makes sense of life. And Nezah, he's got no other options. he sensibly, because of his test, has got no options apart from to go with Daniel. So what is it? What is the revelation? What is the dream? What does it mean? What's the perspective that God gives Nezer so he's able to make sense of death? It's this. Ultimately, God alone is in charge. Ultimately, God alone is in charge. And that is the overarching message as Daniel interprets the content of Nezer's dream. This is the kind of weird giant statue that's like a totem pole. And the interpretation, we didn't read it, but I'll unpack it for you, comes in three parts. And it's three periods of human history. It's the present, the future, and then the end. And so first of all, the present. The present, human rule comes from God. Human rule comes from God. Have a look down at verse 37. Your majesty, you are the king of kings, the God of heaven. Sorry, the God of heaven have given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. So Nezer is the head of gold in our statue. That's the first part. And he's told he rules because God has given him dominion. Nezer, you might have great power, huge empire, awesome authority, but it's only because God has given it to you. It is God by right because God is the creator. There's no authority except for that which God has already established. Any present power, any level, any rule, in any sphere, is a generous gift from God. The rule of a nation by a monarch, the rule of a home by a parent, the position of principal at a college, the boss of a team at work, God delegates his rule to people. He gives out of his generous hand to all humanity. And that doesn't mean that people use it rightly and responsibly. We've seen that with Assad in Syria, or Robert Mugabe, or Zuma, or Nezer himself. Abuse of authority does not contradict what Nezer is told. Huge rule is a gift from God. And that's true of Nezer. It's true of secular rulers as much as it's true of us here, people of God. So that's the present. Human rule comes from God. Future, human kingdoms will not last. Human kingdoms will not last. Have a look down at verse 39. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong of iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. So we learn here, as we go down the statue, there's more kingdoms. There should be a diagram on the screen. Nezer's kingdom will not last forever. The head of gold will not last forever. His vast Babylonian empire, even in the book of Daniel we read, gets overcome by the Medo-Persian empire. That's the second empire that that's in the dream. And then the third empire, we learn, is the empire of the Greeks, the ancient Greek world, which was again a vast empire. And then the fourth was the Roman Empire that then overtook that. And the pattern in this chapter is picked up in all of human history. Now, you know, there's no human rule, there's no human empire, however big, however powerful, that will ever last. And we see this even in the British Empire, don't we? That, you know, it doesn't last. We kind of had our heyday. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but it's kind of on the way out. I feel this even at work. You know, right now at work, I kind of think, L'Oreal, where I work, it will last forever. You know, it feels so big and vast. It's a global corporate company. But, you know, in 1,000 years, all that would be left was a couple of bottles of shampoo probably still floating around the ocean. And that's it, you know? Sadly, we know all human kingdoms will come to an end. In some cases, that's a good thing. In some cases, it's a bad thing. Either way, all will be overthrown. And in the end, God will establish a kingdom that will last forever. God will establish a kingdom that will last forever. Have a look at verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but itself will endure forever. That's the meaning of the vision. We're told three times, just in those short verses, that this kingdom's different because it will last forever. Verse 44, it will never be destroyed, nor it will be left to another people. Verse 45, itself it will endure forever. And verse 45, we learn that the rock became a mountain and it covered the whole earth. This will be a universal kingdom, all nations. The great God has shown King Nezer what will take place in the future. Nezer, yes, you're the king of Babylon. Yes, at this point in time, you feel like you're in charge. But here's the perspective that you need. Your rule comes from God. Your kingdom will not last forever. And in the end, God will establish his kingdom, the kingdom that will last forever. Well, that's really good and helpful for King Nebuchadnezzar, isn't it? That's great perspective. It's amazing for him to know the future of that ancient time. But most of us haven't had giant statue dreams, and most of us aren't that into ancient history. So what about for us? How does God reveal his perspective that we need to make sense of our lives in our age, now in London? Well, it's a different method, but it's exactly the same message. We've been studying Hebrews 1 in our home groups. We had our first night last week. And just the very first verses in that, we read, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times in various ways, e.g. dreams. But in these last days, that is now, God has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is God's full and final perspective for us to make sense of life. And amazingly, Jesus came speaking the exact same message as we see here in Daniel. Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes and his message is summarized in six words. His message is, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, God's rule is very near. It's very near because I'm bringing it. I am the king of God's kingdom. That's what Jesus' claim was. He claimed to be the rock that we read about in King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The rock that in the end smashes all other kingdoms and forms the basis of God's kingdom. And oh yeah, on Jesus' first coming, I mean, he looked fairly unimpressive, didn't he? He certainly wasn't the kind of kingdom crusher that we read about here in Daniel. But he repeatedly said, didn't he, the next time he comes, he will come in power and glory. And so we're in this in-between time. We're waiting. But we know history is heading in one way. Brexit, no Brexit. War, peace. China, USA. God is in control of kingdoms. God is in control of kings coming and going. It's all a subplot to the main event. He's already written the ending. Jesus Christ will come back with power and glory like we've never seen. He will reign forever. His rule will be perfect. His kingdom will be paradise. But there will be no alternative. That is the only kingdom going. So we're either under his rule in his kingdom or we'll be his enemies. And that is God's view of human history. That's the world kind of zoomed out at 50,000 feet. And that's the perspective that he's chosen to give us to make sense of life. He's told us what will happen in the future. And the question is, isn't it, what do we do with that perspective? One option is we pay kind of lip service to it, like Nezah's response. It looks really genuine, but let's have a closer look. So verse 46, look down with me. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before the Lord and God. No, he fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor. And then look at the language just later on. It seems so genuine, but then you look closer and he said, verse 47, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. So straight away, you're getting the sense of, yeah, King Nebuchadnezzar is really impressed with Daniel. I mean, he bows down to him. And then he's really impressed with Daniel's God. Notice the plural, God of gods. It's still one of, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar's gods. If you think I'm being tough on King Nebuchadnezzar, then come back in a few weeks, Daniel chapter 3, and you'll see this is not a changed man. Learning God's perspective has not changed Nezzar. I mean, other than perhaps wanting to be best mates with Daniel. No, he doesn't get it. Nezzar still thinks he's the one in charge. He's calling the shots. Yeah, he lavishes gifts on Daniel. Oh, he promotes him to the first place in his kingdom. But he doesn't understand. Do you get it? Do you understand the implications for your life, of God's perspective, that what he shared this morning? Our rule, our life, it comes from God. It's a gift. Our reign, our lives will not last forever. And in the end, we will have to meet Jesus as God's ruler of the universe. If we understand that, our first response surely should be like Daniel in verse 20. Have a look at Daniel's prayer in verse 20. It's a great prayer. He says, praise be to God, the God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel, he's clearly understood the significance of the dream. He just spills over in praise. He can't help himself. Praise, we can pray even more, can't we? We know even more than Daniel did. Praise God for sending Jesus, for revealing to us the plan for him to rule over all of human history. And we can praise God not just with our lips, but with our lives. The words contained in God's Bible, they're God's perspective. They're his plan at 100,000 feet, culminating in Jesus' reign forever. When we understand that, it goes from just being, oh, you know, the Bible's a good book, I dip in and out of it, it's helpful. It goes from being that to the most precious, most life-changing words. They should rule over everything we do, over all our plans. Praising him with our lives means, like Daniel, we listen to his words. We listen to that over and above all the other ideas that are thrown at us, over all the YouTube videos and documentaries and our friends' advice. They keep everything in perspective. Our boss at work or our illness. So as we close, let's thank God. Thank him that he, this morning, through his word, has given us true perspective that only he can give. Then let's praise him. Let's praise him as the one in charge over all of human history. Let's pray. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Thank you, Father, for showing us this morning your perspective. We acknowledge that you are in charge, not us, not our bosses at work, not Theresa May. We praise you as the one who rules over all of human history. We praise you that one day you will establish your perfect kingdom through Jesus. Please give us that perspective this morning, this week, for the rest of our lives. Give us that perspective when we're disheartened and the world feels so miserable because people have abused the rule that you've given them. Give us that perspective when we're tempted to be arrogant and we think we're building impressive kingdoms. Please, Father, help us praise you as the King of Kings. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.